Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So we've been looking at various aspects from the book, and today I'm going to be covering healing. Jesus told people to save the souls and heal the body. Healing is not extra special, it's just another gift. The Holy Spirit translates the message and sure promises of Jesus into physical, tangible experiences on which we build our hope as we await the full salvation of Jesus. Healing started with sin in Genesis. Sin interrupted perfection. After that came sickness, disease, and death. And I would like to state now that anyone who has sickness or disease, they're carrying the sin of humankind. It's not about their own sin. And we must hold everybody's health and everybody's healing, or if they're not visibly healed, we must hold it all gently and thoughtfully as a precious, fragile gift. And talking of gifts, even straight after Jesus, God had shown his wrath at the sin of Adam and Eve, he then started to heal, even in Genesis. Think of him channeling his love through Abraham to heal Abimelech and his wife, and then to Elijah, who he channeled his love and healing power through to bring the widow's son back to life. And so it goes on with lots of examples in the New Testament of where Jesus performed multiple healings. And so we saw in our reading today, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well. I promise I didn't do these slides after a few drinks. It's just the translation between PowerPoint and Google Docs. So I think we need to bear in mind four types of healing today. Most people, when they're thinking about healing, they just think about physical healing, but that's so closely intertwined with relational healing, spiritual healing, and emotional healing. So I'd like us to look at them all together. And a great psalm that's in the mist, a great psalm that helps us with the emotional, the relational, and the spiritual healing is, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." My own healing came aged 3, my emotional healing. I was in a garden in Singapore one day, and it was a beautiful day, and I grew up in a very sad household, and God filled me with his Holy Spirit, and I was glowing. I had that ready breck glow, if people remember that advert. And God was saying, "Be cheerful. You're in a sad household. Be cheerful." And at first I had to work at it, and then it became just natural. And I actually then brought about some relational healing. My brothers and sisters were very sad and resented me because I was born less than 2 years after their mother had taken her own life. There's a lot of resentment there. But because I was cheerful, we had lots of fun together, and they became very kind to me, and we had a great upbringing between us. So too, I've had some physical healing. So the 39 main categories of illness, and by 39 stripes, Jesus redeemed us and will heal us to live life in all its fullness as a taste of heaven that we have received. I also received physical healing within my family. My lovely son, when he went to university, descended into a life of alcohol, drugs, nicotine, really heavy drugs. At the end of this, we're going to share a little video about my son, but he did eventually turn back to Jesus and was healed overnight. He had no withdrawal symptoms and he was taking really strong class A drugs. It just healed overnight. We were saving up for rehab for when he was ready, but praise Jesus, he was just healed and moved on with his life. So all well and good, healing of all sorts. But there are some caveats. All healing this side of heaven is temporary. People who are healed will eventually die. Our ultimate hope is not resting on healing today, but the resurrection. Healing is not the kingdom, but it's a sign of the kingdom. So we seek it and we ask for it now as we are hungry for the taste of things to come. Some people don't want healing, or they're scared of it, or they can't be bothered. Think of Elisha trying to persuade Naaman to go into the River Jordan and wash himself. And Naaman was angry. He wanted God to come and heal him on the spot with one word. It's complicated because suffering is real and it hurts. Jesus has been victorious over sin, but the full experience will be encountered over a lifetime. We will receive the overwhelming joy of the already, but also the pain of the not yet. And remember, those who do not get healed immediately, it's not because of their sin or their lack of faith. We are all sinners. The other thing that struck me is sometimes when we do not think that physical healing is happening, relational, spiritual, emotional healing can be happening. So relational, we all pull together in the face of a crisis. When someone's ill, we all pull together. Spiritual healing, we're desperate and we spend more time developing our relationship with God. And emotional healing, when we're physically or mentally ill, we can get a sense of perspective on what really matters. So those four things are all really intertwined. And sometimes when one part of healing doesn't happen, we can recognize that other types of healing are in progress. Sometimes we want immediate results. We start instantly expecting healing, but God often works over time. He uses the process of healing to shape us, to grow our faith, and to teach us patience. God's will for healing is not just about physical restoration, it's about total wholeness. So how do we do it? Well, Jesus didn't actually give us a set plan or method, did he? Sometimes he spoke to people, sometimes he had to be there, other times he wasn't there, sometimes he touched people, other times other people touched him. So we haven't really got much of a pattern about how to go about healing. So here are some ingredients. See if you can work out the word jumble up there. Faith is a factor. Jesus said to Bartimaeus, go, your faith has healed you. But a word of caution, just as a reminder, those who are not healed, it's nothing to do with their lack of faith. Faith is one great ingredient, but there are other factors. And also, if you feel shame because someone hasn't been healed, that's not you, that's the devil. Faith is not passive, it's not just a mental exercise. Faith compels us to act, to believe that God can and will heal us. We should use expectant language of healing ministry. I propose that we need to embed expectant language within our Bedhampton culture. An expectation of this needs to be fostered as the congregation gathers in the welcome, in the Eucharist, in the intercessions, in the peace. I propose that we have a monthly healing slot. preparation also matters. Prayer and fasting sets us aside as holy and makes ourselves available for sacred use. When we give more of our life to God, we grow in spiritual power. But it's simple prayer. When we pray, we can simply acknowledge that all healing comes through God. We should meditate on his word. We should open ourselves up to his healing touch. When we are sick or hurting, we should open the Bible and declare his promises over our life. We should remember that he is our strength. When we feel broken, know that he will heal us. And music worship attracts heaven. Worship, contemporary or traditional, creates an atmosphere of healing. In James 5:13, he said, "Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise." That's embedded in the midst of all the talk about healing. Persistence may be required. Jesus took two goes to heal the blind man, perhaps because he'd done a lot of healing already that day. And John Wimber in the book says, "We prayed for months for the first healing, and after it had happened, we thought we'd opened the floodgates, but then we prayed longer and longer for the second healing." Healing is always better in community. We had a couple of focus groups in the summer, and over 20 lovely people from our parish came along, gave us their favourite sayings from the favourite verses from the Bible about healing, and gave us some examples and their own stories of where some aspect of healing had been blessed on their family. And we've been praying and exploring it ever since. And we can be greatly encouraged by our reading today. "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up." I believe we are a high compassion church. We're kind, we're welcoming, we're loving to each other. Let's be high expectation too, high expectation of healing. Today I challenge us, are we willing to step out in faith? Do you believe that God can heal? When we believe, all things are possible. We too have access to the authority of Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, we are his hands and feet on earth. My favouritest Bible verse on healing is Malachi 4:2. "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with risen healing in his wings." We sing this at Christmas when our thoughts are on mince pies. But the Hebrew word for wings means extremities. Just like the hemorrhaging woman, the Holy Spirit is encouraging us to touch his hem, to touch the extremities of his love with our worship and prayers, and audaciously ask for healing. Then he can come and heal us. The second part of the Malachi verse ends, "And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves." I fed that into an AI generator and it came up with this picture. Thought that was quite good. So after healing in this life or the next, we will be fit to frolic in the field like well-fed calves. So let's get moving.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.